chance for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're Navy Blue, are you?
The turkey sandwiches are starting to run out, and it's that time of year when you don't know what day it is. Unfortunately, the Bairns didn't get the gift of 3 points this Christmas as we faced Dundee, but did we give them a gift? We'll talk about that in a minute. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft, your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast. I am George McNally, joined as ever by my little elf, Ross Wayne. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, is it too, are we too delayed to say Merry Christmas again? Or are we almost happy New Year again?
It's done. Or do we say Happy New Year? Because a lot of people will hear this probably, in the year. So Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year, because this will be our last one.
That is the last one of the year. As you said, though, this is this weird period, the Christmas perineum, as I think we've described it before.
Yeah.
And that everyone now Googling, kids Googling what a perineum is. And it's a weird time of year. The news over the course of the last 40 hours since game on Saturday, obviously, Scott Arfield was missing from the matchday squad, and there's been lots of rumours online, still nothing out from any official source. However, it does look like the main man, our sweet prince, is departing. Where to? We don't know yet, do we?
I mean, it's sad times. I mean, it does look like there's a lot more fire than smoke now to the rumour. He wasn't in the squad, obviously, against Dundee. I noticed straight away that he wasn't on the bench. And then the pictures, apparently, of him at Ibrox that have emerged. And then Sky Sports are reporting now. So it does seem that Scott is going to be leaving the club, which is really sad. You know, he came in January last year. I remember the buzz when he came in. Obviously, that debut, one of the greatest football re-debuts ever. And it was just sad to see it, you know, come to an end. If it is coming to an end that way, I really hope he's just decided to retire. You know, we've seen and looked into, he started a marketing company, Bluefield Marketing, which is a kind of business-to-business marketing company. I've been deep diving after the rumours started, looking into that. So if it's a retirement in, he goes to that, great, because what he wouldn't want to see is just like if he is goes to another club, especially if I don't think it would be a Premiership club. I can't see that happening, just for the reasons that he's not getting a game with us. But if it'd be devastating if he went to, let's just say, our friends across in Fife or somewhere like that. But you know, if it is just a retirement, listen, all the best to Scott.
Absolutely. And I think I think the thing is, John, as you said, right, he came back at a time when we were absolutely, like, we were a bit iffy when he came back. Like, the results had sort of been a bit odd, and we just needed that extra kick up the bum. And he definitely given us that. And, like, what a second debut he had for Falkirk. It was absolutely, like, unreal what happened that day. And no Falkirk fan will ever forget it. And if he is retiring or he's going somewhere else, he will obviously go with the best wishes of every single Falkirk fan. As you've said, I'm not massively convinced if he is continuing to kick a ball, I'm not convinced it would probably be in our league. Why would we let him go to another team in our league either? That's the other thing.
Yeah.
But listen, whatever he does, he's going to go with the best wishes every Falkirk fan, because he came back and he said, I'd love to get Falkirk into the Premier League, and he's done it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we look back, you know, this is the last Falkirk Daft of the year, and you look back at 2025 for the Bairns, and it's been an absolute amazing year for the club. And that was one of the high points, you know, Scott Arfield coming back and scoring a hat-trick, and, you know, for scoring his first touch of the ball. I do think he does, I mean, if it is a case of, like, I want to go and get game time, or I'm just, you know, he's just realised that maybe he hasn't got the legs that he thought he might had, to work in the Premiership, because I do think he's got something to offer. And there's times in matches, certainly this season, I've been crying for him to get on the bench or even start the game, because he holds up the ball and he at that top end of the park better than a lot of the players we have, you know. And he, you know, we know his finishing prowess. Just look at the goal against Motherwell and the goal he scored, which got us into the Premiership. You know, it's he's still got loads to offer on the park, so, you know, and maybe he's got loads to offer off the park as well. He just finished his coaching badges, so maybe there's a space for him at the club. I don't know, but it certainly does look like it's the end of his second spell here at the club.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, Sky Sports are reporting it last night and today. BBC is getting involved as well. So usually, when the media get involved, it's there's something in it, as you've said. I'm sure we'll hear. By the time the podcast is out, something might already be out by the club, obviously, but we'll wait and see. I agree with you. Like, even on Saturday there, he probably would have been a better option than what came on, if we're being honest.
I'll message my sources to see if I can get any light on the situation during the podcast. If I get an update, I'll let you know. But yeah, no, it's listen, all the best. If it is true, and it does certainly look that way, all the best to Scott. And it does. I'm hoping that people will still turn up for his night on the 28th of February at the Enshiner with Russell Atterbee, even
Oh,
though
they will.
if he is going, I'm sure a lot of people are getting that as Christmas presents. I mean, it'll be interesting, you know, and I think we can officially announce now, Ross, that we are actually hosting it. So looking forward to that. And then we can ask Scott all about it on the 28th of February at the Enshiner and find out what made this decision. I'm sure we'll hear more as the days go by anyway on that. But that'll be
Yeah.
an interesting conversation. And we forgot to do this before Christmas. We should do the draw for the actual winner, shouldn't we? We should do
We
that right
should,
now.
yes. So we can do that just now. So I have taken notes and I've got numbers here. So last time, from memory, John, we didn't run a comp. I think we picked the winner from X. So I was thinking this time we'll pick one of the Facebook winners, if that's all right. So I've got like 100 odd shares here. I want you to just pick a random number, and I've associated the names to the numbers.
Okay, how many numbers have we got there?
We've got 144.
140. Go for, let's go for number 37. There you go.
Good shout. That is a very good shout. Let's have a look at 37. Colin Donaldson, big Falkirk fan. Don't be a stranger to a lot of people listening to this podcast. Colin, you are the winner of the two tickets, so really well done. So we'll drop you a message once we've got the details, and we'll send that on to him. So really well done, Colin.
We'll see you there on the night, Colin. Well done. And it should be a good night at the Enshiner, even if Scott isn't with the club at that point. We'll get all the gossip anyway on the night of the 28th. And I'm sure a lot of people, as I say, got that for a Christmas present. Did you get any Bairns gifts, Ross?
I was very fortunate, actually. I got some really good gifts. So Champions again book,
Yeah.
written by Pablo. I hadn't got my copy, so it must have been fate that I was getting that for Christmas. A really nice painting, framed painting I brought of one of the paintings at the sale in the shop, actually got given that by the family. So really, really nice. And then last but not least, the shirt is something I had already organised myself, but I had a signed shirt from Colin
Oh,
Brad's.
did you get, did you, is it just the same by the whole squad or just Colin Brad that's
No,
like that?
it was Colin Brad, because the armband had been signed by Colin Brad as well. And then the family have got it all like in a really nice display case. So you can kind of see all the way around it. It's quite cool.
Where are you putting it? Where are you getting allowed to put that display case? Is the next question I'm going to ask you.
No, I've got that in the conservatory
Right.
now,
And how
so
long
it's
is it going to be able to stay in the conservatory?
hopefully forever. Well, as long as I'm here, I'll be there.
I am amazed your wife's letting you do that. Amazed. Amazed.
It does look cracking though. Like, honestly, it looks absolutely stunning. So that's the plan.
There you go. There you go. I actually
What
got
about you? Did you get any Bairns gifts?
my wife finally took the hint this year, and I got my first Falkirk ever gift from my wife this year. And I was like, oh my God, for years I've been married to you, and you've actually got me a Falkirk gift. So I got a pair of Falkirk bob bag pants. So there we go.
Is that a present for her as well, though?
Well, it must be a treat. What a treat to see the Falkirk steeple in my pants. But I wore them. Right. I thought these will be my new lucky pants to wear match day. Worn them against Dundee, never getting worn again. So there you go. You missed the game, obviously. There's a lot of boys. You watched at Falkirk TV. I'm bumped into a few casualties from Dundee in the pub. I was in the pub yesterday after, you know, which was a day on. A lot of people had stayed up in Dundee. Shout out to Dexie, who I met in the station pub. Yesterday I was in having a pint, and Dexie was in there. A bunch of boys had they'd stayed over in Dundee, went for a night out in Dundee, and then got the train back, and then decided to pop into the station for one, which turned into several, more than one. So I think he was in trouble when he was going back up the road. So shout out to Dexie to yesterday. But I think it was a good night had in Dundee, and a good day out for a lot of boys drinking the trades. I saw a lot of pictures from there.
Huge, huge crowd up, John. Just over 2,000 Bairns fans up in Dundee. And that followed on from a good back in at Rugby Park as well. So listen, the fans are massively doing their bit this year too.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to talk about, there's not very lot of club news coming around, but we've got to talk about Barney Stewart. I think John McGuinn was asked about it, the situation, and Barney is coming back to the Bairns.
Good. Yep, really happy with that. I know I've been quite vocal about it. I don't think he should ever have went out on loan to them. However, I don't think I'm big enough to admit that the loan deal seems to have worked.
Well done, Ross. Finally, you've admitted it.
No, listen, he's got goals. And,
well, let's go back and listen to the episode when it was announced that he was going to Dunfermline, shall we?
Well, listen, I wasn't happy about it, but that wasn't for him. That was, I was more, and I still am of the opinion that we shouldn't really be helping out Dunfermline at all. And that is my, but in retrospect, listen, it has seems to have worked for him as well. He's coming back, yeah, having scored 6 or 7 goals.
Jesus Christ. If you're watching the YouTube version, he's just done that 6-7 fucking thing.
It has worked, and he's coming back a wanted man. They don't want him to leave. There's a few other online rumours that he's destined for bigger things. But listen, he's coming back as we want him, which is an on-form striker. And boy, do we need an on-form striker just now.
Absolutely. I did, I hate my hate of Raith Rovers social media, as most Falkirk supporters hate Raith Rovers. But fair play to Raith Rovers. When he scored against them, they announced or said, and it's scorer for Dunfermline, Falkirk's Barney Stewart, which I thought was fair enough. That's actually... That's a decent bit of shithousery. But obviously he scored the goal that gave them the win in the Fife Derby, and a lot of Dunfermline supporters gutted that he's coming back to us, having read through some of their social media posts. Are like, they're like, how can we not keep him? Can we not keep him? It just goes to show. And I went and had a look at his goal against Raith Rovers. Again, just something, like you say, we've been missing. Just that focal point and just that physical presence that he brings with him. It was a well taken goal from a corner kick as well. So well done, Barney. Great to have you back, and let's get some disinfectant all over you. And we'll see.
Chris McGill will be making sure he's fully cleansed before he sits back in the stadium, I'm sure. It will be good to see him back in the squad. Obviously, we play Aberdeen on Saturday, and
does he go straight back in, do you think,
to the starting lineup?
There's a question. Does he go straight into the starting lineup?
It's a tough one. He won't have had much training time with Falkirk anyway. Obviously, he's fully fit. I don't know. I probably would, because he's scoring goals and we've not been really scoring many goals lately. So, yeah, I probably would. Will he? I'm not convinced. I think Barney will be on the bench on Saturday, and Brian Graham will probably die, which is not a problem, by the way. I'm fully on board how well Brian Graham does. He obviously didn't have a sniff on Saturday because no one did. I probably would, personally. Okay.
We'll talk about Aberdeen in just a bit. We're going to talk about Dundee first, obviously. Our guest is this week is Grant Thompson, and that gives me a great link into Birthday Corner, because it's his birthday on the 5th of January, so we'll have to say happy birthday when he joins us just in a minute. So happy birthday to Grant. He's going to be joining us just in a minute to talk about the Dundee game, so happy birthday. I think he's 48 or 47. He told me on Tuesday at the game against Dundee, so happy birthday, Grant. We'll speak to you in a minute. And that's it for Birthday Corner from the supporters. Lots of players celebrating their birthday this week, or former Bairns. Alex Ferguson, of course. Sir Alex played for the Bairns, played 5 seasons for the Bairns. I mean, I think it was over about 125 appearances he made for Falkirk. You could say that probably Falkirk is his club. Turns 84. John Henry, John Henry, turns 54 on Hogmanay as well. Happy birthday, Brian Purdy, your regular in the 1876 lounge. Brian's turning 67, so we'll have to say happy birthday on the 1st of January. So, 6-7, another 6-7. Jesus, Ross.
That's the last time we'll do it.
Please do. So, happy birthday to Brian. We'll probably see you in there on Saturday, no doubt. A couple other birthdays to mention. John Tiger McLaughlin, legend of the club, turns 78. You'll see his face at the in the North Stand as well. So
that's ironic. His birthday is just a couple of days after.
Alex Ferguson. That's a story for a different time. We won't revisit old grounds between the beef between. There's some beef between John Tiger McLaughlin and Alex Ferguson. We don't quite know what it is, but we had a night at the Inshira and. Next time you see us in the pub, ask us about it. It was very awkward.
It was very awkward. Yeah, it was.
Very awkward. Albert Craig's turned 64 on the 3rd as well. And Stevie Kirk, they both share a birthday. He's turned 63. Again, both been in the 1876 rounds recently. Daniel Marchetta. Do you remember Daniel Marchetta?
Yes, that was it Red Star Belgrade or something?
I think he was an under-21 Serbian international, if memory serves me right. Came with great, you know, everyone's like, oh my God, we've signed someone from Red Star Belgrade, he's going to be a player. Never had a sniff.
Do you remember they also agreed a purchase price should the loan deal have worked out? Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was like $500,000 or something like that.
It was a lot of cash. And needless to say, there was no chance of us paying for money for Daniel Marchetta.
No, absolutely not. Michael McKenna, obviously it didn't work out at Falkirk for Michael, really. We signed him, massive goal scorer for Arbroath, still playing, he's back at East Fife now, playing under Dick Campbell. But Michael didn't really kind of work out with him at Falkirk, but he played his part in the squad when he came off the bench whenever he needs to be. So happy birthday, Michael, as well, 35. And Leo Fasan, one of the worst goalkeepers ever to put on the Navy Blue, I would say. 32, God knows what he's doing with himself these days.
Are you not meant to give some sort of trigger warning when there's a name like that just dropped? I think I saw him as a waiter in Gambera Rosso. I never, but that's exactly where he probably should be.
Jesus. Stereotypes there, I love that. But well done.
Well, he's Italian, right? He is Italian,
yeah. He was one of the few.
He probably dropped the place.
One of the few Italians that have ever played for us. I can't think of many others apart from Sabatino Damasus. Leo Fasan.
that was going to be my go-to.
Oh,
you're forgetting the current member of the squad who's Italian.
Alfie Agyeman
was born in Italy.
He was born in Italy, but I think he's Ghanaian. I don't know, but it's Ghanaian. I would go Ghanaian, but yeah, please leave your pronunciation of Ghanaian or Ghanaian in the comments below. I can't think of anyone we've other Italian players that have played for Falkirk apart from Leo Fasan and Sabatino Damasus. Ross.
No, I agree. Damasus would have been my go-to Italian guy. Can't think of any others.
Leave the cut. If we've forgotten someone really obvious, which we tend to do, please leave the comments below. Before we get into the game against Dundee, let's say thank you to Behind the Wall. I was in there yesterday. Everyone having their kind of that lull in between Christmas and Hogmanay, where you go out with the boys or the girls and have that day out. I had that yesterday. Started in the station, end up at Behind the Wall for a bit of food. And we got the Bishop's Chair. I cannot believe it. I think it's the first time I've ever... Because you know the Bishop's Chair and Behind the Wall, when end of the bar, you usually have to be invited to it. to sit down at it. You know, I've very rare times that I've been invited to the bishop's chair, so it was an honour to sit in the bishop's chair and eat my chorizo and chicken pizza there at Behind the Wall, because the restaurant was stowed out. So everyone doing that, and there are still obviously over the new year there are tables available in the restaurant, and obviously the food is cracking there. And it's a free Hogmanay party at Behind the Wall. There is no entry fee. You don't need a ticket or a booking. You just wander up to Behind the Wall, and they're having a Hogmanay party there. If you've got no plans for Hogmanay, head on to Behind the Wall. Have a good night out there. And there's still some tickets available for the Aberdeen bus as well. Of course, it's the Carling coach, stroke Falkirk Daft coach, will get you up to Aberdeen, and you get your free beer, over down to the stadium, you get your free beer on return as well. So that's £5 return with your free beer at the end once you go back to the bar. Good shout and a great deal. So book on as ever, phone up the pub, speak to Brian or Paul behind the bar. They'll sort you out and get you on the coach for the Aberdeen game. It should be a you know, decent crowd, I think, on Saturday as well.
Yeah, it'll be another sellout. I can't imagine there's too many tickets left for the North Stand. If there is, there'll be a handful. But yeah, it'll be another full stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, lots of events happening behind the wall. The Burns Nights with the Tri-Steaters happening on the 23rd, and Fleeting Rumours tribute to Fleetwood Mac is on the 31st of January. Check it all out at behindthewall.co.uk. Okay, let's get the birthday boy on now, and let's talk about the game against Dundee. You'll know him as Charlie in Still Game, that episode with the elevator when his favourite phrase was...
Keep on coming.
Keep on coming. It's Grant Thompson.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good, mate. Good. And we've got to say happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Charlie.
Happy birthday to you. Fifth of January, we've just announced you on Birthday Corner there, Grant. Is it 47 or 48 you're turning?
47.
47, there you go.
Devastating, John, devastating. But no, thank you very much. That's made me feel all fuzzy inside, so thank you.
Oh, that was lovely. I had the delight of sitting next to Grant at the Dundee game. He just made the last minute call to get out the house and go up to Dundee and escape the madness of the house. So we sat together and watched the Dundee game together. Found out Grant, obviously, is a rugby player. He's a big lad. He was a rugby player, played for Graham High, and we're trying to work out if we played against each other or not.
Our paths might have crossed, but it was just so long ago, I think.
I was a useless rugby player. If our paths did cross, you would have been flattening me, Grant, because I was absolutely useless. Stuck out on the wing for Larbert High. There you go.
Yeah. I think that career ended a long, long time ago, but no. Rugby, football and cricket was my sports when I was younger.
There you go.
Bracket. Yeah. We need to have a chat, Grant.
See, Ross, it was a family thing because my grandfather played cricket, then my dad played cricket, so I was kind of brought along to the cricket when I was younger.
I love the cricket. I'm with Grant. Great.
No, the Perrys need some sort of hard drive.
See, on a nice, warm, sunny day, Stenismuir Cricket Club, couple of pints, just watching the cricket is a brilliant way to spend an afternoon.
Maybe not Stenismuir, maybe West Quarter. But
all right, West Quarter.
Jens, just before we do get into anything, I had a pop-up there from Falkirk Football Club and I thought it might have been something about Scotty, but it's officially welcoming Barney back to Falkirk Football Club.
I thought it was going to be Bairns Lottle because that's normally what the notification is.
Barney is back. Falkirk Football Club is delighted to confirm the return of Barney Stewart to the Falkirk Stadium following a successful loan spell in the William Hill Championship. Welcome home, Barney. And then they've obviously put in some pictures of him back in training. So, yeah, he looks delighted, to be fair. He does, he looks delighted.
Well, that's good to hear.
Good stuff.
That's good to hear.
I was actually, we've got a friend over just now from Australia, and she's brought her partner, and he got dragged down to the club shop by me this morning to get some Falkirk merchandise to take back to Australia from. So we had a wee peek through the fence, and we were just setting up for training, but couldn't see anybody.
Hmm.
Oh, no.
He'll be back on the pitch on Saturday. Come on.
listen, we'll talk about why he could be back on the pitch after that performance against Dundee. Grant, did you get any Christmas Falkirk gifts?
I didn't, John, no. No, my Christmas was not a Falkirk one this year. How about yourselves?
I know we're just talking about that at the start. My wife bought me my first Falkirk Christmas gift for me. I got a pair of pants which I wore on Saturday, and they weren't lucky pants, unfortunately. So, yeah, I know.
And we saw Rossi's gift on social media as well, which looked quite impressive.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah,
I'm very happy with that one, Grant. That is, I think that's up there as one of our best.
Did you buy it for yourself?
No, the shirt was organised already. So that was the display and everything's all been done by others. So
very nice.
Yeah, and built by my eldest daughter, who normally doesn't care about Falkirk or anything Falkirk related. So, but she's done a very good job putting it all together.
Smashing, great. Let's talk about the game then, shall we? There was three changes from a side that beat Kilmarnock: Keelan Adams, Finn Yeats and Ethan Williams, all coming back into the starting 11, and that was for Leon McCann, Dylan Tate and Henry Cartwright. And obviously the question on the day was, where's Scott Arfield? And it turns out he was at Ibrox watching Rangers, apparently.
Is that confirmed, though?
I don't know. I've seen people that have said he was pictured at Ibrox. I don't know.
I'm not convinced. I don't think, knowing, and I don't know him well enough, right? But why would he, before anything's announced, even if he was injured, he would be at the state. He would be at Dens Park with the rest of the injured players, like they always do. I don't think Scott would put himself in a position to be at Ibrox when Falkirk are playing. Not a chance.
No, don't
build that up, Ross, because you'll just feel hurt if it finds out.
Well, listen. If he has done, I'm surprised. I'd be surprised. Maybe he has. Listen, maybe he's going there. Maybe he's going there as a coach or some.
Who knows?
I would be shocked if he was at Ibrox on Saturday when Falkirk are playing at the exact same time. Unless he's already away. See, if he's already away, he can obviously do what he wants with his weekend. So that might come out on the announcement when it's made that he left Falkirk before Christmas. Who knows? Like, do you know what I mean? He's maybe already said his goodbyes and stuff. And if he has, he can go where he wants, obviously. But if he wasn't, I'd be shocked if it'd be a different game.
I've not seen the picture. I'm just saying what I've heard. But I'll have a scour across the internet to see if there are any pictures of Scott Arfield that I brought started. But anyway, wasn't on the bench. Like the changes he made, Leon McCann, Dylan Tate, and Henry Cartwright, I can understand maybe Henry dropping out. Leon McCann was a bit of a head scratcher for me, Ross.
Massively. I was really shocked and a wee bit disappointed, actually, that Leon was out. I thought he would have retained his place. He was man of the match the week before. He was in the SPFL team of the week and then he finds himself on the bench. Now, don't get me wrong, I really, really like Philippe Lisa. We've said it. I'm not going to say he's not a good player, but did Leon deserve to lose his place? Not for me. Keelan obviously comes back in at right back, which I can understand because we've been kind of missing him at right back. We have. Was he 100% fully fit? I'm not sure. He didn't look it. He obviously got tore a new one off that Yogan winger for Dundee a few times, so tough one. I could understand Finn starting. He came on and made such an impact the week before, and the midfield wasn't at its best.
You were calling for it.
I stand by it. I thought he deserved his game. I don't think it worked in terms of where he played him. I think he would have been far better in the 10, just as kind of where I didn't think he would be playing beside Brad, and he was. So that for me was another. I'm not sure why that's happened.
Yeah. Dylan Tate and Henry Cartwright getting dropped. I mean, Ethan Williams, we've always said that if Ethan Williams is fit, Ethan Williams should play Grant. But were you surprised at the changes?
Yeah. Going on to what Ross was saying there about McCann. Yeah, I think disappointing. That's the word that you use, Ross, and that's what I agree with. I think it was disappointing to not see him on, but yeah, it's Yates filling that kind of gap where Tate and Cartwright have been playing. That was a surprise, and I was almost disappointed as well. But yeah, it didn't quite work. It didn't work. I don't think Yates done anything wrong, but I don't really think that setup was effective.
Yeah. I mean, Yeats, and it turned out Yeats was pretty anonymous throughout the match, as were a lot of players when you look at back at the match. And I mean, it was a game that just seemed to have nil-nil written all over it. We'll talk about the penalty in just a bit, but it just the way the game played out, like it just felt like it's going to be one of these turgid nil-nil jobs. Nothing much to write home about, really, at all in the match at all. Let's talk about, we'll get straight in because there was very few chances up until even the red card halfway through the first half. It was again that came about. I mean, Brad went in and won the ball and took the man. It was a clean tackle, straight red. He went in with aggression, don't get me wrong, but he won the ball and then took the man secondly, and quite rightly refused to leave the park.
I mean, if both players were committed, and if you look at the playback, I don't know what Ashley Hay was trying to achieve with the way he put his leg in, but Brad got to the ball first, and maybe I'm kind of old fashioned that way, but I don't even think it was a yellow card.
No, I agree.
And I did put a post on Facebook about that, and Dundee fans have been trying to slaughter me about it, but I genuinely don't think it was even a yellow. And John, we watched the referee. He was across at that VAR screen for a hell of a long time, and it was almost like he was, shit, I've made a mistake here. How do I fix this without looking like a complete tit? That's what it felt to me. It probably wasn't, but it was no, it was completely the wrong decision. I don't think it even should have been the yellow.
I think the interest, when they do the Willie Collum show thing, I think they will look at this one, and I think it'll be interesting to see or hear what the VAR commentary is to, like, so VAR team talking to the ref. I agree with you, Grant, and for me it wasn't even a yellow, to be honest. Like, what's the yellow card for? Like, are we saying that it was dangerous
It'll
follow
be
through?
aggression. It'll be the aggression. In terms of the aggression that he went in with, that's why they'll have it down as a yellow. But I mean, I've just looked up the stats here, and I don't believe that we had 23 shots in that match, according to the stats. I mean, certainly had the most possession, and I thought that we were the better team on the day. But one shot on target in that whole match, and an XG of 1.2. God knows where that XG of 1.2 is coming from as well. Because it was just, we just, again, it's been the problem, as we've seen. We've been keeping it tight at the back, but just any score.
And that's what's going to kind of kill us, I think, John, unless we start finding a way to get goals. Come the end of the season, we need to be these narrow games between the likes of Dundee and Kilmarnock, we need to make sure we're winning them, and to win them we need to be scoring goals, and it's not happening at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, probably the instant it stuck out in that first half was Kyrie Wilson when he, went around the goalkeeper, but couldn't cross it to find a Falkirk player. That was probably a. Is it? Was there any other
Here's a
chances
question.
like
Should he have just thumped it towards the goal? He doesn't. He turns around and
that?
pirouettes and tries to get. For me, he should have just lumped it towards the goal. Once he was round the keeper, I think he's made a. I think he'll look back on it and look at it as a weird scenario that he might have done different. So he would maybe do differently again.
I think I don't know how it looked on screen, but certainly it was just in front of us. And John, correct me if I'm wrong, but just the way he came onto that ball, I don't think it was as straightforward as angling himself and just smacking the ball. I thought he handled it as best he could. I don't think the opportunity was there for him just to hit it. Certainly at the angle, but I don't know.
And defense, as I say, from the screen angle, you don't see anyone running in. So for me, it's like, why, just hitting it towards the goal. And but there may well have been cover back for him. But I just think that's we're now talking at least the last three or four games where Kyle's had a moment to score, and he's chosen the wrong option of three times now.
I mean, and the thing is, John McCracken was having a power. I mean, he was like, his kicking was all over the place. He was there for the taking, and the fact that we didn't get a shot on target till the 88th minute is just ridiculous. He was there for to test them out because he wasn't having a great game, McCracken, at all. And we didn't test him at all, which is a really disappointing part. You know, we talked about Finn Yeats being a bit anonymous. Brian Graham didn't have a sniff. And that's not
No.
on Brian Graham, by the way. That's on the wingers and the midfield not getting the ball into him. Like, you know, there's just, I guess when you talk about McCann, that's what McCann offers. He's the best crosser of the ball in the team, you know, and he offers that. I like Keelan Adams again. He carries the ball so well, and I thought he played all right. Actually, I think a lot of people have slated him for Saturday. I thought he played okay. But yeah.
No, John, I thought he played okay as well. I just thought when I wasn't sure he was completely fit though, because he's normally got a really good turn of pace in him and like keeping up with the wingers. But the boy had him on toast in that first half, three or four times. Was it Yogan, I think his name was? And he just he tore him a new one. But maybe he's just rusty and that'll come back with games.
Absolutely.
I mean, it did have nil nil written all over it this game, I thought, until, you know, just before half time. You know, we were watching it, Grant, and I kind of had this fear when the happened, the referee didn't give it. And then the stop, obviously, with the play and the VAR check. As soon as he ran over that screen, we thought, "Oh God, it's a penalty." What were your thoughts on the penalty, Ross?
Do you know, I think I might have said this on the group chat at the time, John. I think the way the letter of the law is now, right, I get why the ref's given it. I don't think his arm is massively being extended, but it's not tucked in. But then how can you jump with your arms by your side? It's so difficult to do. So I can completely understand why it's been given. I think it's disappointing. Obviously, the ref's not given it in VAR, but as you said, as soon as they say to the ref, go and have a look at this penalty for VAR, how many times does it not become a penalty? It's like almost every occasion is a pen, as soon as the ref goes to see it. So a little bit disappointing. But I genuinely don't know what Finn could do differently with his body. He's even on the turn, like he's trying to let it hit his back. Like what more? Like what does he need to do? I'd love to hear a ref go, well, you should have done this. Well, what does he do in that scenario?
And I think the annoying thing is it looked like that shot was going miles over. It didn't look like it was going goal bound
No,
at all. So.
and I feel sorry for Finn because he's obviously. He said after last week's match, that's 8 months he's been out, and when he's coming back and that happens to him, it's just unfortunate. I felt sorry for him, but at the same time, I don't think if the shoe was another foot, we'd be screaming for the penalty as well. So I don't think we've got too much to complain about.
I don't, with the way the rule is now, it's just like, what is a penalty, what's not a penalty? We go back to won't go back against the Hearts game, which was 1,000,000% not a penalty according to Willie Colum. You know, it's, yeah, we won't go back, but I mean, it was just a poor, poor day at the office. Like, I can't think of anything else to talk about in that first half, you know.
Do you know what it reminded me of? You boys have seen it. You remember the Mike Bassett film? And he's at like the World Cup or something, and there's like the worst nil-nil ever. And like you hear crickets and you hear like someone opening a packet of crisps. It's so quiet, it's such a crap game. That's what it felt like on Saturday. I saw loads of people say they felt the atmosphere was a bit weird as well. I don't know what the answer there was. Like obviously Dundee didn't have the biggest home crowds there, but we had over 2,000 there, and you would have thought it would have been very, very noisy. But the
It
some of the
was.
comments online,
Yeah, it
I
was
thought
brilliant.
it was all right. Yeah,
Yeah, it
so
was fine. No problem.
but just it was an odd game, a very odd game.
And even the subs, like, so we made the triple sub, obviously, Kyrell, Ethan and Finn going off, and Alfie, Ethan Ross and Dylan Tate coming on. Now, Dylan Tate does what Dylan Tate does, and he, you know, he brings energy and stuff to the tape. Again, Alfie and Ethan didn't do much. And I'm getting to the point where I don't know if the Alfie experiment is over, and if we need someone stronger for that right wing to come on.
Well, so my issue is, and where I was really getting frustrated is, we resorted to hump balls up the park to Alfie, and what history tells us is that Alfie doesn't deal with hump balls well, and it
No.
never ever works. So watching that, and you seen the ball going to him, you knew what was happening, and it was just frustrating because we were chasing the game, and it's like, come on, just try something else other than hump balls up to Alfie, which. is never effective.
Do you not think we just looked out of completely out of ideas on
Yeah.
Saturday? Like nothing worked. Like none of the subs. You could argue Dylan Tate was probably the best of the subs that came on just because he got stuck in and he had a bit of sun about him. But otherwise, like none of the subs had any impact on that performance
I
at
thought
all.
Aidan Nesbitt when he came on offered a bit, but I've been absolutely shot down by everyone for this when I've said I thought Aidan Nesbitt came in and offered a bit when he came on. He only had 10 minutes to play in.
I don't really remember him touching the ball. Like, maybe he did. Maybe he did, and I've just missed it. But it was a tough watch. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not League One, sixth place, tough watch that we've seen before. However, it just nothing was working right. I saw you getting a bit of beef about the whole Nesbitt thing. I don't think he played badly. I just don't personally think he did anything that was. Like, but the same as what Grant said, Ethan Ross didn't come on and do anything. Alfie came on, didn't do anything. Don't even start me about the final tray cover. Right? Just there's nothing worked. No movement, no quick runs, no dig. Just.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one with Nesbitt. I think, yeah, I didn't really seem to do much either, Ross.
Yeah, the only other incident to really talk about was the red card for Simon Murray, which at the time, Grant, we were sitting next to each other, and I immediately went up and said, "That's a red card." You were just like, "What? What?" You were quite astounded by the fact it was a red card.
Well, that's what I said to you. I was like, John, go and talk me through that. Why do you think that's a red card? Because I didn't think it was a red, but now I've watched it the playback. Yeah, there was nothing more than intent there to hurt Ethan Ross, and yeah, it
It
was
was a
definitely a red.
horrible,
Yeah.
horrible challenge. It
Yeah.
was cynical. Like I don't know who said it on a group chat. Maybe Rodden said, "Oh, for him, it wasn't a red card. It was just a cynical challenge." Well, it was cynical, but he scraped his studs
It was studs
down the
up, aye, it
back
was
of
studs up.
studs up, and I actually, I when I was watching it, like there was a, I wasn't obviously on my own watching. I'm saying, "Look, listen, Ethan Ross, this could be really bad. Thankfully, he's all right, but that could have been really bad for Ethan Ross." And let's face it, Ethan's like he's not had the best of seasons because of his injury. So that could have been another 3 months out potentially, depending on how bad the contact was. But thankfully, it seems, well, I assume he's all right.
I mean, again, but the 89th minute, that's where we're up to pretty much the review of the game. We're up to 89th minute, and it was Philip Lisa who tried to corner Allen and got all the way through and then got a shot off, and that was about as good as it got. Because we up, you know, when Sam Murray went up, we had 10 minutes to try and rescue the game, which we didn't. I mean, it was just, again, like, I don't know what went wrong. I don't know if the dust had the Christmas hangover, but it was the like two teams that were just slogging it out, like two heavyweights slogging it out in the 10th round, just holding each other up because it was just a slog fit. It was just not a game of football at all.
Well, you heard the support, John, when they announced an extra 8 minutes of extra time. I think there was belief that it's like, yes, we're going to do this, and then no, we didn't.
No,
We didn't
no.
do. We didn't do anything at all. No,
They are not a good football team. Dundee are not a good football team.
and that's what's frustrating, Ross. You have a look at the teams we've played this season, and we've more than held our own, and that's just kind of what's frustrating. We've not got that clinical edge to kind of see games off.
I thought Luke Graham was very good for them, by the way. I thought he was probably their man of the match. I don't know who got it from. I think it was Dre Wright maybe got it from the supporters at the end, but I thought Luke Graham was really good for them. I wish we could have him back. And saying that,
Dre,
we're very well covered in.
yeah, Dre Wright shot across goal, had us with our hearts in our mouth.
Aye,
It
that was
trickled just
tight.
past the post.
That was tight. I was just like, ah, it's the ball, it's just part of it was very, very tight. But no, again, that was Falkirk versus Dundee, 1-0. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Has anyone got anything else you'd like to say about this game?
Not really. There's
Anything else to contribute? No.
even the highlights was like pretty grim few minutes, and it's not one that I'll go back and watch either.
I know, I felt really sorry. Sean Elderbrand, obviously, Sean from formerly of Falkirk TV, now doing the BBC commentary. That was his first Falkirk game, I think, that he's commentated on for the BBC. And I messaged him being, tough watch that, eh? Tough watch. Not a great week for him. He's Bob of Newcastle got beat. It's my Bob of Newcastle as well got beat as well. So Aye, not great. 1-0, back down the road, and my lucky pants didn't work. So there you go. Be getting them, sending them back to the shops. Right, let's hear what John McGlynn had to say and see if he can talk more about the match than we can.
John, a bit of a tough one to take today. How would you sum up the game?
Yeah, you're always disappointed when you lose, that's for sure. A lot of huffing and puffing, I would say. The first half, second half, you know, we huffed and puffed, we put a lot into it. Didn't really have the quality, we gave the ball away too much, which didn't make us flow, you know. There's nothing in the game whatsoever. I think maybe first half, you know, Dundee maybe shaded the first half. They get the goal for the penalty, which again is a lottery. And it looks like they've set up to defend the 1-0 lead. They've not really hardly got into their, you know, our goal within the second half, their one corner kick, I think. So frustrating that we didn't produce the quality that we might have got us something out of the game. Our away record's very good. We've picked up 13 points away from home and 11 points at home, so our away record's very good. But it's still difficult coming to these places, you know. A huge thank you to the fans. We're over 2,000 fans here today. That is magnificent, absolutely brilliant. Disappointed, you know, we're not going back down the road with something to be happy about. But we've done really well in the year of 2025, and we just need to dust ourselves down now here and get ready for Aberdeen. We just lacked a bit of quality in the final third to get us something out of the game that, for the effort we put in, you know, I felt we deserved that. I know Stephen will be happy with his defensive setup, how they defended. We didn't get enough strikes at goal. I think Philip had a really good strike in the second half, but that's about it, considering that we had a lot of the ball, a lot of set plays. We got in behind them on a number of occasions. We didn't get the final ball right, and we didn't get on the end of the final ball. And the ball maybe went across the goal. So, yeah, frustrated. You know, I think we're better than that. Fair play to Dundee. You know, they've, as I said, have defended well in the second half. The goal comes from a penalty, which, as I said, they're lotteries these days. Yates, he's tried to go out and block it. He kind of turned his back. If he's made his body bigger, then, you know, by the letter of law, it maybe is. But it's a sore one in that respect, that it's a penalty that's divided the teams, you know.
Yeah, John's not got much to say about the match either, has he? Jesus. I mean, it was, it's, you know,
there was a bit of padding there, wasn't
there? There was a bit of padding. But, you know, he's honest as ever, John. Like, we probably deserved a point out of that match. Like I say, I thought without that penalty, it's a 0-0 written all over it. Because both
I would have took a point as well. See if you'd said to me 4 points from the two away games.
I said that as well. I remember when we were looking ahead to these two matches, I said 4 points out of these two matches would be a brilliant return. But it's just disappointing that we've ended up with nothing in that match when it was.
Here's a question for you, right? So we've played Dundee twice now. We've obviously won the first game, they've won the second one. Both games have been like a draw, aren't they?
Yeah,
like, I know we won the first one like really late on, and it was a wonder goal. But had we drawn both games, which should have been probably the results, we'd have been only sitting there with 2 points, and we've got three from the two games. Ah, so actually, if I'm going to my half full glass, whatever I'm trying to say, that's probably the only positive that we can take from the two Dundee fixtures, is that we've taken more than we probably deserved.
I mean, I think we're in a league with the side now that, I mean, maybe St Mirren are dragged into it now, I don't know, but, you know, Dundee, Kilmarnock and Livingston, the first results I look out for on a Saturday now.
Yep.
And as long as they keep getting beat, that is good news for Falkirk, in my opinion. So we'll see where we are. Like you say, 10th is the dream. 9th would be an unbelievable season. But
absolutely.
10th is the dream, so we've just got to bear that in mind. And that's, supporters have got to bear that in mind as well. You know, we had the kind of had a, you know, that lovely bit of form when we were, you know, top six and stuff. But you've got to bear in mind, like, you go bite your hand off for 10th right now. You could sign off the season saying, you're in 10th, Thank you very much. I'm up the road. Thank you very much. Let's just build on something for next season. So we shall see. But yeah, not great on Saturday. But it's here what you guys had to say about it. Scott kicks us off saying, just one of those games where we never looked like scoring. Dundee managed to win the battle in the middle of the park, which nullified our build-up play. Unfortunately, all the attacking players had an off game, which didn't help. More of a scrap than a game of football. I do think... After that yellow card as well, it kind of took Brad's a wee bit of bite out of Brad's game as well. But yeah, Dundee kind of won the midfield, I would say.
No, I totally agree. Donald says, worst we've played this season against a rotten side that was there for the taking. The referee was shocking. I don't think there was a red card in the game, and he managed to produce two. Not sure about the penalty, but these days, who knows? Adams showed, beg your pardon, that he hasn't played for ages.
Yeah, I mean, Duncan Nicholson was the official. He was terrible, I thought.
Was it the worst we've played all season? Or did it just not go our way in the final third?
I don't know. I can't think of many worse performances.
Well, there's been worse performances where we've been scudded to a degree, right? I don't think it was worse. But in terms of, is it the worst we've played
against a team that we should be looking to beat?
Yeah, because even Livy back in August, we had chances. It was just really bad finishing that day. Yeah. I see against the competitors, it maybe is the worst. It maybe is for me as well.
Yeah, fair enough. Graham says, neither team deserved to win or lose, officiating a complete joke.
Vicky says, wrong team selection by John McGlynn. No idea why he didn't bring Cartwright on for strength in the midfield. We needed to pressurise their keeper and we lack a striker. Barney alone is not the answer.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Maybe Barney and another in the January transfer window. But I do agree, I think it was a game that would have cried out for Cartwright putting himself at midfield. When we talked about midfield battle, Henry coming on and that kind of bunch of subs that came on, I think would have been probably a really good option. But hey-ho, we'll look back at it. Croft says, worst performance of the season. Squad needs strengthened beyond the core, who have done brilliantly so far. Too far a drop-off between them and the ones who replace them. Can't complain too much, though. We've got points on the board and done better than expected, but shows that there is still work to do.
SP Offshore says, crossing practice required this week. 7 out of the 26 crosses on target and even some of the off-target ones weren't in great positions. Graham can't score from 5 yards out if he doesn't get the service. That is a very, very good point.
That is a very good point. Tam says, the stats say it all, really, and just adds to the growing trend of plenty of possession and doing nothing with it. You can only work with what you have. I can only hope that the GM and backroom staff are working hard on a solution to avoid being reeled in by those below us. Come on, ye bairns.
What's GM?
I'm assuming general manager. I'm assuming that's Jamie. He's referring.
Oh, right, okay. Right, that makes sense. Cameron says, Barney in straight from the start next week. Graham is decent, but we're missing a bit more involvement from our striker with the way we play. The final third play was really poor. Yeats is decent as well, but he's not a starter. Tate and Cartwright, both a level above.
I do think that as well, I have to say. Mark says, Alfie doesn't need to come on every game. Dominating the ball is not the game for him. It's a very good point. He doesn't need to come on every game, you're right. You know, Cartwright was probably the change that you would have wanted to make rather than Alfie. Adams runs down that side too. If Wiesa stays for the season, we're fine. Man of the match again. Well, I don't know about that. We've not mentioned Rui Wiesa at all. He had a decent enough game, but I don't think he was man of the match for me.
I'd be struggling to pick one.
Well, we'll get that in a minute.
See, going back to Cameron, though, like he's obviously said Yeats is decent as well, but he's not a starter. I don't think playing Yeats in the holding role is his game. I think if he played him on Saturday a bit further advanced, like he'd done against Kelly in the second half, we might have had a different Finn Yeats, but listen, we'll never know. Yeah. And finally, Joe. Falkirk Dafty, is the Dundee staff moving the spare balls around? So I obviously wouldn't have witnessed this on Falkirk TV. So what's the deal here?
Oh, it was ridiculous. So basically the Dundee ball boys or Dundee ball attendants, whatever they're called, they're like teenagers. Like they're not like ball boys like you have wee guys. They kept, so Scott Bain, there's this constant battle of him moving the cones to... But near, so it's near the goal, so he could get the ball and distribute it quickly. And they kept moving it away from from it, and this on going back to the I think it was the coach, the trainer, I can't remember his name, the Falkirk trainer came round and basically told them off, and then moved the balls back towards where Scott Bain was, and then they went back and then moved the cones. It was ridiculous. So yeah, they're definitely the Dundee ball attempts are definitely getting daft of the week, unless you've got any other nomination.
Oh, and Simon Murray, no.
No, yeah. Or Dundee ball attempts are getting it because they were Dundee doing my head. Absolutely doing my head in as well. But fair, it was a total shit house on both sides. But yeah, we will give them the daft of the week. But who gets the Falkirk daft rated player this week?
I thought Kyrell Wilson actually played well in the first half. I'm a bit of a Kyrell fanboy. I like the way he plays, but I think throughout the game, I think it needs to go to Hendo.
Yeah, I agree. Hendo for me. If in doubt, just pick Hendo because he's the most consistent player we've got. He's never below a seven. So, and again, the defence did really, really well. Him and Conor Allen at the back again were just marshalled it really well. And Dundee didn't get a sniff. We talk about Falkirk not getting a sniff. Dundee didn't really get a sniff either, apart from that Dre Wright chance. So I'll go with Hendo. Ross, you got anyone else you'd like to put in?
No, I'm happy to back Hendo. I think he's, as you said, Mr. Reliable. Didn't do much, if anything, Rome on Saturday. But notable shout out to Conor Allen as well. I thought, again, he just looks a very, very good player in a position that seems to be suiting him.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. Hendo is Falkirk Daft rated player of the match. Right then, well, that's the game done with. Let's go on then to Falkirk Daft versus. And after Ross's rage quit last week, he's doing the questions this week, Grant, so I will be taking on your good shell. Now, Grant, obviously, he is usually, if you've been to Falkirk Daft Live, Grant normally is the quizmaster on these occasions, so let's see how he does as the quizzer.
I am absolutely terrible with general knowledge at Falkirk. Right. I can't even remember what happened last week, so I fear the worst here.
I don't actually think I've got any questions on last week, so you're all right.
There'll be a shut number question, no doubt, though.
Not this week, John. Not this week.
Do you know what I'm getting done
I'm
before
raking
this?
About. I'm raking about for my pens, hold on, bear with me.
Right.
What I'd done before this call was that I wrote every single shirt number down in front of me.
He gave me feedback that that was a go-to question. Can I just say, I got at least two of the questions right last week that I was perceived wrong.
Oh, so, shut up. See this, Reggie Smith. He was sending me messages about Reggie Smith. He wasn't the manager, Ross. He was a trainer or a coach at Dundee. He was not the manager.
So he was on the management team, though, was he?
Sorry, the question was, which name me someone that's managed both teams? So that's a lie. And what was the other question you said that you got?
I can't remember.
Right. Hawking shite. Right. Okay, I've got my pen now. I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Questions.
Here we go. Right, guys. So, question number one then. How many ex-Falkirk players were in the starting lineup or on the bench on Saturday for Dundee? So, how many ex-players were in the starting lineup or indeed on the bench on Saturday for Dundee?
I've got an answer written down.
Okay. Grant, we will come to you for your verbal answer.
I can only think of one.
So you're going with one?
I have went one as well.
You've went one as well. One is the correct answer. It is Luke Graham. Yeah. If I wanted to be really annoying, I could have said Stephen Presley was on the bench as well as a manager, but I'll never. So we'll stick with one. So one each. Well done. Your face. Question number two. How many goals have we scored this season in the Premiership? Is it 20 or 21? So how many goals have we scored this season in the Premiership? Is it 20 or is it 21?
50-50 ball. Right, I've got my answer.
I'll go 20.
I've went 21.
It's 2-1, Grant Thompson. We've scored 20. Question number three.
I've got a bloody table in front of me. I should just went down and had a look. Jesus Christ.
Question number three. Who was the last player to join Falkirk from Aberdeen? Who was the last player to join Falkirk from Aberdeen?
Got my answer.
John seems confident with this one. Grant, we'll give you another 10 seconds.
Right, okay. I know it's not him because we got a guy on loan a couple of seasons ago that was awful, and I forget his name. So the next person I can think of is Finn Yates.
You're saying Finn Yates, John McAnally?
Ben Yates.
Ben Yates is the correct answer. Yeah, you're done now. You're good. You're thinking of Michael Ruth.
That's it,
Yeah, he was before Finn.
Right, okay.
Just before he was the season. I think Finn joined in the summer of
I mean, you could argue,
2022.
of course, that he didn't come directly from Aberdeen because he was released and then signed for Falkirk, but
Well,
I won't argue against that.
no,
Anyway.
since you got the point.
Yeah.
What was that then? 3-1?
F-E-2.
3-2, sorry, 3-2.
B2.
Question number four then. So we last played Aberdeen in the league in February 2010, winning 3-1. But who famously scored a volley that day? He scored the last goal. It was the third goal. So we last played Aberdeen in the league in February 2010, winning 3-1. But who famously scored a volley that day? And it was the third goal that day.
Jesus. No, it's not him, obviously.
No. He's a keeper, isn't he? Jesus saves.
I've written down
You've
something.
got something written down, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, I've not got a clue, so I will go with John Beard.
You're saying John Baird? Okay, John McAnally?
Written down Ryan Flynn.
Neither are correct. It was Mr. Enoch Shaoomhne. Was the
Oh.
correct answer. He did. He scored a very famous scissor kick slash volley that day, and it was one of his very few goals for Falkirk. So yeah, Enoch Shaoomhne. So it's still 3-2, and we go on to the last question. So, and it is Enoch Shaoomhne based. So for those who remember, Enoch had a very, very clever song. What I'm looking for here is the next line. Okay,
Do
so.
you know what? This was the There was a couple of seasons when I was in Newcastle, and
And this is one of them.
this was one of the seasons that I was in
So,
Newcastle, so they got hardly any games.
I'm looking for the next line, all right? So, Enoch's got a massive cock, Enoch. Enoch, he tucks it into his football sock. Enoch, he shagged a bird and now she's dead. What's the next line? So, don't shout it out,
Shagged a
John. We'll
bird
wait it.
and now he's dead.
Now she's dead.
Now she's dead.
See, when you actually analyze the song, it's actually brutal. But so he shagged the bird and now she's dead. So then you write something down, John.
I've written something down. I do, because again, this was in my lost years of my Falkirk lost years when I was stuck down Newcastle.
If you get this, that nails the win.
I'm definitely not getting
I've
it.
had a total. I've had a total guess. You're definitely winning this, Grant, because my guess here is a fucking disgrace.
Okay, Grant, we will come to you. So, Enoch's got a massive cock, Enoch. He tucks it into his football sock, Enoch. He shagged a bird and now she's dead.
She's got exit wounds in her head.
I've written, and now he's scoring with his head.
Neither of you have got it. So the win is definitely going to Grant Thompson. The next line is he swings his cock around his head.
A lot of cock with Enoch to strike his cock around his head. There you
So,
go.
Grant, you are the winner today. John, play
Well
the tune
done,
as well.
Grant. Oh, man.
Well
Thank
done,
you,
Grant.
guys.
A
Thank you, guys.
scrappy game.
It was.
And no rage quitting from me either. So there you go. Sport.
Thank God, because you've recorded this.
Exactly. The podcast would be over now. Grant, we don't actually have, we're doubling up again this week because we don't actually have an Aberdeen preview. My friend Beth Wallace of Radio One and Radio Fame was going to come on, but she's in Manchester to preview Aberdeen. So you'll just have to do that, birthday boy. We'll talk the Aberdeen with you. Did you go up last time, Grant, at Pittodrie for the 1-0
I
win?
did. I did. I was up last time, yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very tough game until Aberdeen got that man sent off. So
I
I'm
agree with
expecting pretty much of the same.
Yeah, Aberdeen starting to motor a wee bit in terms of the league form. You know, that's only one loss in the last six, and that came against Celtic at Parkhead, in which they were unlucky to not get a result there with the way Celtic were playing. But yeah, you know, they've kind of motored a wee bit. They're now into the top half of the table. Some very good players in that squad, Ross.
No, there is. As Grant said, that game at Pittodrie was a tough game, and they had a good squad anyway on paper then. The sending off definitely kind of helped push the game in our favour. Kyrell, who scored that day, took a lovely finish, obviously. They then signed a good few players the two or three days after that, and that has definitely helped, because when you do look at their run of results, it has coincided with that sort of the end of the summer window. So they have done far, far better. They are a different proposition. I think this will be a tough game, but we are at home, and I would fancy us against anyone, and I do mean that. If we can, Rangers, we could have won that game. We've got a draw. We've not played Celtic at home yet. That joy's coming up. Hearts was obviously probably the anomaly with the home games, because we didn't really kind of do what we thought we would do that game. But otherwise, our home games have been really tight, and we've given teams a right good go, and I think this will be the same on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, they have got a lot of good players on that side. When you look at, they've got a Swedish international playing for them, for good example, in Jesper Karlsson, who's really made a big difference to them. The good news, however, is that if we get our first goal, there's a good chance we're going to get something out of the game. Jeremy Thielen's side have only gone on to win once in the 10 games when they've conceded first. Good start, that. So hopefully we can get the first goal there on Saturday. We were talking about earlier on, Grant, does Barney Stewart come straight into starting 11?
I think based on Saturday, we need to try something different, because we just weren't effective, so why not? He's been scoring goals for fun for Dunfermline, so get him in and let's see what happens.
Yeah, Ross, you're kind of on the Barney bandwagon, aren't you, for him to come straight back in, or you stab Brian?
Yeah, no, again, this is no slight on Brian, because he's done very, very well for us. My thinking is the same as Grant. So if you're looking at who's in form, it is a different level. But you're looking at who's in form, I personally would play Barney from the off. I do think, though, I think John will pick Brian, and I think Barney will be on the bench on Saturday.
Likely they'll match up. Aberdeen have been playing the kind of 4-2-3-1 that we kind of have gone, so it looks like the formations will match up. Stuart Armstrong, we know, is a very, very good footballer in the middle of the park for them, so he's definitely one for the watching, as I mentioned it, Carlson, Keskin, and of course they've got Ken Nisbet, who's obviously Scotland international, always worth a go as well. And the goalkeeper, like old goalkeepers, he has a mistake in him, but I certainly saw it was against Celtic. You had an absolute couple of howers against Celtic. Yeah. But Mitov is certainly a very, very good goalkeeper as well. So, it's a daunting task, especially, like you say, we caught them a bit cold the last time. I don't think they'll be as cold this time, Grant.
They're a big strapping team as well, John. A lot of big strapping, handsome bastards. I've just got them on my screen just now, just looking through the team, and it's not going to be easy.
See, the thing is, though, right? They play midweek as well. Sorry, they play this midweek. We don't. Yeah. So and it is an away game, so they've got a bit of travel in there. And I don't want to say that means that much, because we've seen teams play us, and then they've still maybe had a win on the weekend. But hopefully we use the sort of free midweek to good use. Let's face it, Barney might not be the only new person in the squad.
Do you think they'll act that fast, Ross?
I don't know, John. The only thing, John does like to do his business early. Now, I know that's not always possible, because if you look at that, we're talking about Aberdeen away. We signed Kyrell, we signed Trey, and we signed Ethan Williams the day before and on the day. And that was obviously really tight towards the end of the window. That can happen. But he does like to do his business early. So I wouldn't be shocked if there's maybe one other person that might come into the squad.
So at the end of John's interview on Saturday, he did talk about bringing people in. If we bring anyone in at all, it won't be early. He stated on Saturday that we won't be bringing in anyone in the early doors. He also said that Cole's just about back, and it's trying to get him some game time, but that's not necessarily easy. So
you might this time find, right,
we might find out we might have a bounce game this week just to give the likes of Cole a run. So I don't know, but I don't anticipate any great changes for next weekend other than potentially Burnley.
Yeah, Ross, what side do you put out on Saturday against Aberdeen?
I would, if Keelan is not 100%, and I'm not sure he is, I would continue as we had been, which would be McCann at left back and Lissa at right back. However, listen, he's got another week's training under his belt, and if he's kind of getting the minutes there, then can keep him in. But I personally would be bringing McCann back in at left back. I can't remember who said it within the fan comments, but Henry Cartwright obviously gives you a bit of dig in the midfield. I think I'd be bringing him and back in instead of probably Finn from that position on Saturday. Ethan Williams was a little bit quiet on Saturday, but again, like you said earlier, I think he deserves, if he's fit and able, he probably starts, because he has his distribution, his set pieces, he's been an assist maker for us on a number of occasions this year. So I probably wouldn't be changing too much of the forward line. But listen, I think we would have talked about Scott Arfield potentially in the 10. That's probably not going to happen. So for me, yeah, probably. Personally, it's a toss-up between, you've got Yates there and Dylan Tate, who can play the 10. Nesbitt's now back in the mix for that role as well. So it will be interesting to see who he goes with. Me personally, it would be Dylan or Finn.
So would you drop Calvin or Kyrell or William?
Calvin would be my last piece of that jigsaw on the left-hand side. On the opposite wing.
So you drop Kyrell?
Yeah, I would. Well, as I say, I know Grant's a fanboy, as he said earlier, and I like Kyrell as well. I think he's a bit of a nuisance. He causes problems, and that is a big thing. But his decision making and final scoring opportunity, I think he's been off it for about a month. But we've not got a massive amount of alternatives, because, as you've said, Alfie, is he the answer either? I don't know. Ethan Ross has not done much since he came back either, so it is a difficult. Kyrell may well be but I personally think if he puts Calvin in the 10, then it will be Kyrell and Ethan Williams either side of him. And then the last question you've got there is it Barney or is it Brian? I certainly don't think it'll be Trey.
No, I don't think so. But I'd be interested to see what happens with Trey actually come New Year, if he gets sent back to Sunderland, they put him back out. So wait and see.
Did I read somewhere that he gave his shirt to someone in the crowd?
Oh, I didn't notice that.
I don't know if that's nonsense or not, but I'm sure I read somewhere.
Well, Sam Hart did, and he was back in the next 10 weeks. Yeah. So I will wait and see. But yeah, no, it'll be interesting. Score predictions for the match then, boys?
1-0 Barney Stewart.
1-0 Barney Stewart.
How good would that be? How good would that be? I don't know if it'll be Barney, but I'm going to go 1-0 Falkirk as well. We're not scoring a lot of goals just now, but if we can keep it tight in the back like we have done in the most, I'm going to say 1-0 Falkirk as well.
Yeah, Aberdeen haven't had a great scoring record. They've only scored the same amount of goals as we have this season in 20. So yeah, I think it'll be a low scoring game, but I think with Aberdeen, you know, we've got the chance to go above them. We've got the chance to go above them on into sixth place come the weekend. So that's a big motivation to get back into that top six. Bear in mind, it depends how it goes for them during the week, right enough. But, you know, if Royal results go our way during the week, you know, we've got the chance to leapfrog them. So big motivation, but I do think it'll end up in a 1-1 draw, I suspect. But we will wait and see that. So that's Aberdeen this Saturday. We'll be in the 1876 Lounge as ever doing a bit. If you're coming along, love to speak to you. So yeah, we'll wait and see how the game goes against Aberdeen. And before we go though, we've got to say thanks to our sponsors, Falkirk Football Fans and Training. T8s are back at Stadium every Wednesday between 8:30 and 9:30 with their Elite Academy and Legends set up. Get yourself down there. There's an over 50 section as well. Grant, you're not far off that now.
Rude.
But listen, they've been going for the last 10 years and they're a great group, bunch of lads. So get down, get involved with the guys, get yourself fit in the new year, have a kick about, help your mental health. We say it all the time. It is really like great for the soul. So get down, join the T8s every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30 at the Falkirk Stadium, and get in touch with our Ian, Willie or Dougie. The link is below to talk to the lads. And I'm sure they all had a great Christmas as well. In fact, I know they had a great Christmas because I saw the pictures of Ian over in Spain with Ali and a couple of the other usual faces. So hope they had a great Christmas. And yeah, thanks for supporting the podcast, guys. Right, before we go, I thought it'd just be nice. Let's look back a bit in 2025, boys. Let's, you know, it's been a brilliant year for the Bairns. Let's forget about the Dundee game and just look back at the year as a whole. Ross, I mean, I think the biggest highlight is against that game against Hamilton. But are there any other moments that you can pick out from the year?
The Hamilton day night would be number one, absolutely. But we touched on it earlier on. That second debut for Scott Arfield was just phenomenal. And that would probably be my second. Do we get three? Could we have?
Yeah, I'll give you three.
That probably would be my second, because it was just what a moment for him, for us, scoring so early, and then he really did reignite everything else. In terms of the third one, though, I'm probably gonna like that opening day against Dundee United. We're back. We've got a full house, Sky TV cameras. We're back. That was probably that getting back the championship flag getting unfurled as well.
Yeah. What about you, Graham?
I think all. I need to agree with all of them, but just a few days before we signed our field, that the closure of that January transfer window that evening, when all these transfers started coming in, just that little bit late, and then our field was finally announced. I was like a kid on Christmas Eve there, just constantly refreshing my phone and being excited. That was brilliant. But yeah, I don't think you can really top the Hamilton game. That was pretty special. I mean, just standing up in the main stand and looking at all the Falkirk support around the pitch, that was just
phenomenal.
That was just brilliant.
Incredible times, absolutely.
What were you, John?
I can't disagree with it. I think the Arfield debut, I miss Flag Day, obviously, because I was down at Oasis in Wembley, which I was gutted about. But I think I think when you look at specific moments, I think that Conor Allen goal against Dundee, you just look back and go, wow. I mean, you look at some of the moments, you know, and Cartwright's against, to Teak Wise against Rangers as well, just the noise that was in that the place that day was as well, in front of the cameras as well. But there's been some really special moments. I do think, you know, you'll find it really hard to top the Scott Arfield, you know, hat trick and scoring with his first touch back in a Falkirk jersey. It was unbelievable. And the Hamilton, you know, personally, you know, being on the stage at the Manichae the day after the Hamilton game and just seeing, like, it was just basically a Manichae sing song of everyone absolutely steaming in the Manichae on a Saturday afternoon, and just like it was just a riot, an absolute riot, and I loved that.
You know, that's true actually, because obviously we've kind of focused a lot on the team and the club and stuff, but for the podcast as well, you're right. The Manichae, the live events, if you think back to February time when we were John McGlynn, Paul Smith there, and then we've had some of the ex players, Yogi, in the summer. That was a brilliant night. And not everybody opens a Tesco's either, so we may as well talk.
Opening a Tesco's, there you go. That's my highlight. But listen, it's been a great year to be a Bairn. Listen, I hope you've had a great year. Thank you for listening to the podcast, supporting the podcast, coming to the live events. We really, really appreciate it. And I hope you've enjoyed your year as a Bairn as much as we have. Listen, we'll be back in the new year. We'll be talking about the Aberdeen game. We'll be back to our two episodes a week format. It's just been mad across the Christmas period, as you can expect. Remember, if you don't listen to this podcast, tell a friend. If you know a friend or a family member who's a Falkirk supporter, I mean, we've got like loads of, how many season tickets have we sold this season?
Just under 6,000.
Under 6,000, and only probably about a quarter of those people listen to this podcast or watch this podcast on a weekly basis. So tell a friend or a family member. You know, we have a reward scheme. We've yet to decide what that'll be, but tell a friend or a family member, listen to John and Ross and Falkirk Daft talking about Falkirk, because, you know, no one else is doing it. Well, some other people are trying to do it, yeah. But for right now, we're the original, we're the best Falkirk football unofficial podcast. So please tell your friends and family who don't listen to give it a try in the new year. That can be your New Year's resolution. There you go. Get us, if you don't follow us, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, just type in Falkirk Daft after that. Subscribe to the YouTube channel to see his beautiful faces. And of course, if you're looking for new merch in the year, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk for all your needs. Grant, we've held you on a bit longer than we normally do, so appreciate your time today, and I hope you have a happy birthday, mate.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on, guys. I love helping you guys out when I can, so thank you.
We love having you, Grant. And from all of us in Falkirk Daft, have a happy new year, and until next time...
Expect unexpected. Happy new year, but I can't have the last word with Grant on here. So, Grant, with all these Falkirk memories, what do we say?
Keep on coming.
We're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk bear, we're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.